Your attention, please. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Chop Sports Network. Chop Sports.
Who needs Gerrit Cole? Who needs Gerrit Cole? He can... It's just,
the Yankees definitely
need Gerrit Cole. Welcome to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Wednesday, August the 4th, 2021. Your hosts, Sturch and Gooch, getting his computer from getting charged. That fast, huh? Charged that fast?
Well, no, it's not fully charged. It's got fucking 10%, but I can make it through this episode.
All right, make it through the episode. And, of course, behind the glass, AJ Bascone, who's got his brand new, fresh Bucks and Six t-shirt. Today's he did not get it on the
today's
shop.
Today's mantra is whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, it has, it has been a whirlwind of a day already, and it's not even noon. So we're back here again. You done with your coffee? We're good?
It's unfortunately low. I wish that I had made another one before I fucking started.
Well, you did not. So, I mean, you can always get up and go. I'll carry the show if need be. But anyway.
Good thing we got AJ. I could have
good thing we got AJ.
AJ, have you ever made a coffee here yet?
No.
It's like, well, you might learn this morning.
Unmute but. And no. So we did have our boy Matt start yesterday. Comes in with a Kyler Murray jersey. So he's obviously a Cardinals fan. I said, how'd you become a Cardinals fan? You know, it comes from your family, your lineage. He goes, nope, just started playing fantasy football a couple years back. And Kyler Murray was my quarterback, and I really like him. And then so I just like the Cardinals. And I was like, Cute. That's a good story.
So wait.
That's how he became a Cardinals
fan. Kyler Murray's in his third season.
So he's a brand new football fan.
Brand new football fan.
We told that guy, he showed up on his first day as the graphic design guy in like a suit and tie. And then we're like, dude, you really don't have to dress like that. Don't worry about it. And then yesterday shows up in a Kyler Murray jersey, basketball shorts, and sandals. So.
No, he had some Nikes on.
He did have some Nikes on. He had some Nikes. I was talking about me. I walk around here in sandals.
This is day four in a row with
me
wearing
sneakers
slides.
On today. I put my my Adidas on today.
If anybody heard the, that was Dave lifting his fucking leg. Struggle is real
listen,
over here.
It's been a long time, maybe since 2015, since I did legs at the gym. I'm a top heavy fella. So anyway, I'm rocking my Paz shirt. Paz will be here soon, right? Paz is coming in after wrestling practice.
He'll be
probably
by,
10 pounds less
one.
Than what he was when he woke up this
he'll
morning.
He'll be here by 1.
Oh, 1 o'clock. Cool. The goddamn Jets are recording their podcast today. Till Mets Do Us Part records their podcast today. Everybody's going down in the studio today, which is cool. And then, of course, today dropped 3 podcasts, 2 brand new podcasts. Of course, another installment of Chart Choppers, which, look, this guy has literally covered it all. I mean, from wrestling tag teams to favorite NBA jerseys and players to favorite movie actors. And now today, he's going to get you ready for lunch because he did top 5 sandwiches. This is what he did. And, I expect you to chime in because you work at Jersey Mike's. So
I mean, yeah, I'm very interested. I'm going to listen in. I consider myself a sandwich connoisseur. I make the hottest cheesesteak
in
you
New
say Jersey.
Connoisseur?
Connoisseur.
He gave it the French little heat.
But what I actually wanted to say, though, is I'm going to be writing an article about the Suicide Squad. I know he covers the movies. I'm going to be making an article. I'm going to do a review of the movie. I'm watching it tomorrow. Super excited about it. I heard it's James Gunn's best film in years. But,
wait, Suicide Squad, they're remaking. They already made that movie, right? And now this is a remake?
No, so they made
so
the movie.
So when you say you're writing an article, are you...
He's basically saying, I'm putting it on the Chop Sports.
Where do you think it's being published?
Well, I think if it's a quality review, and I think that we're covering miscellaneous topics such as, you know, movies, sports, entertainment as a whole,
I think it goes into his own
wing. We should have a review.
I like it. I like that idea. I'm with it.
I was thinking big video games, too.
We're
going
to have to discuss this further.
Oh, God. It's going on. As long as you edit it and post it yourself, I'm not doing it. But anyway.
We're going to have to discuss this further.
Suicide Squad. Wait a minute. Time out.
My story.
Back to Suicide Squad for a second. This movie came out already.
Yeah, so the original came out already.
And it was pretty awful.
It was pretty
Will
awful.
Will Smith was in it, right?
Will Smith
along
was
with
in it.
My girl. My God.
Margot Robbie.
Okay, so
let's not get back to this article
and where it's being published. What? Do you guys not understand my reasoning behind the...
A movie? Why?
You want the consistency in the sports articles.
I don't care what we're putting out. I want consistency, period. Whether it's going to be... If you're the betting guy and you're trying to be the betting guy, then be the betting guy. If you want to be the movie guy, by all means, be the movie guy.
Why can't it be the movie betting guy?
Because then he doesn't have a, you need an audience. His audience might not like movies and some of them might not bet, depending. Do you even have an audience? We don't know yet. I haven't checked the analytics.
I have, and they're good. People are actually visiting the website.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah, so I definitely have looked
AJ's
at that.
Looking at me sideways right now. And I'm usually on team AJ, and he knows sideways. This, right? But I have an obligation to...
I get what you're saying.
Keep things consistent. Fine. And that's, you know,
I get it. In any event, so they remade this movie.
Yes.
Okay. She's in it again, right?
She's in it again.
There's no better Harley Quinn ever.
Exactly.
Ever. I mean, that year, there might have been 15.4 million girls running around on Halloween being Harley Quinn. That was ridiculous. It was AJ, everybody.
Are you thinking, not to cut this whole, but I'm back to the whole blog thing. Are you thinking because I'm allowing such a, I mean, I don't want to call it god-awful, but the Jimmy Palumbo 706 blog? AJ edited that the other day, and he said, wait, this is a blog? What's this supposed to be? And I know Jimmy doesn't listen to the show, so I could say this freely, but it's not supposed to be a blog. I don't know exactly what it's supposed to be. It's something that...
It's like a press release.
...that goes on the internet, and I know that he's thinking, like, I could definitely do a movie review better than Jimmy's one blog.
Actually, more so, I was thinking if Ashley could post a fitness thing, then I could probably post a movie thing.
Well, Ashley is my girlfriend.
Yes, I know.
If you wanna...
Well, AJ's my boy. After that casket match that we had, we made amends, and we're like, yo, man, you're the future.
We're all homeboys.
We're all homeboys, but I never seen any fucking... Or Ashley's going to correct me. I haven't seen any casket match between the two of you, so I don't know what the
you
fuck
missed
you're
it. You left
about.
Too early. It was a bloodbath.
Leave early. AJ leaves before me every day.
So anyway, we'll talk about that later. However, I am excited to see a remake of a bad movie, because usually if they remake it, that means they acknowledge the fact that it stunk and then they're just going to redo it again. So I'm cool with it. What, HBO Max?
It's going to be an HBO Max in theaters, yep.
Oh, then I'm definitely watching it. I mean, it's right there. You know, one thing I have to do, which is annoying as all hell, right? Being that I'm with blogging the boys and doing their thing, right? And they're going to do a review on Hard Knocks next week. Tick mark for the Cowboys reference. But here's the thing.
I will load the soundboard for you, AJ. So we can get actual dings
but
when Dave does it.
I will say this. I have to go get HBO now. HBO Max is great, but it's all on-demand programming. Hard Knocks will be available to me 1 minute after Hard Knocks is over. I'm not down with that. I'm not cool with that because I have to live tweet and do all this other stuff during the show. Can't do it if it's an hour later. So now I got to go get HBO again from DirecTV. That's probably going to run me, I don't know, $15, $16 a month. I mean, it's $15, $16 a month, but still, that kind of sucks. They should release it on demand the same time that it's airing. They already have it. It's not like they don't have it in the can. How hard is that?
I do have good news for you, though. Since Hard Knocks only runs for 1 month, you really only got to do it for 1 month.
Oh, absolutely. I did it for, you know, when the last time I upped to HBO again? It wasn't just Hard Knocks. It was Ballers. I wanted to watch The Rock and then that show. Great show.
Terrible show.
Great show. Great show. No?
Terrible show.
Why?
Terrible
show. You just
show.
Hate everything.
No. I'm just a harsh critic when it comes to TV shows and movies. That's a terrible show. It's overdone.
Anything The Rock is... What do you mean overdone? It's never been done.
So basically what...
It's like Arliss, but cooler.
I didn't say it's been done a bunch. I said the show itself is overdone. They take pretty much any scenario that's ever happened over the course of the history of the NFL, and they squeeze it into one guy and one agent or whatever the fuck he's supposed to be in one league, all happening congruently with each other. That's not fucking good TV to me. It's the same as, honestly... I know you're going to get mad.
Don't even say it.
It's the same as Entourage.
Oh, overdone. My God.
Well, Entourage was good early, and then...
Entourage is the greatest show
after that.
Ever created.
That's...
Ever.
Entourage isn't in the top 100.
Oh, my
God. Not even close.
God, are you kidding?
I can name 10 shows right now that I've seen in the last 2 months that are better than Entourage.
No, but I'm saying, like, Entourage had its own niche.
In the beginning, Entourage was great. It just fell the fuck off immediately.
You know what show fell off that I started watching it? Was this, what was it? What the hell? Oh, wow.
The pamphlet.
Shit.
The fucking
Manifest.
Manifest.
Yes. So I've been watching Manifest. Wow, we haven't touched on any sports yet. I've been watching Manifest for now one season, and I'm like episode 10 of second season.
Maybe AJ should write a fucking blog about it.
It is off the rails. I've never seen anything like this. I looked at my wife. I'm like, first of all, you're sleeping. Second of all, it's terrible. Like, what? Like, I don't know. I can't get into it. But anyway.
AJ's going to write a review on Manifest now. Because we're now the fucking movie review.
We are now
TV
Siskel and Ebert
Network.
We are Rotten Tomatoes over here. I'm for any content, my man. Clearly, based off the podcast we put on our network, we're all for the content of all variations.
Do not start with me right now. I'm telling you right now, I'll fucking go off, sis.
Woo-wee. Anyway, sports. This is a sports podcast, after all, and we are 9 minutes into the podcast. So hopefully we entertain the masses.
At least we keep it real.
Yeah, of course. Oh, thank
God. Mic drop. If I could drop my fucking mic, I would.
I'll be over here. I'm done with the show. Thanks. Holy shit. Here we go, baby.
Boom.
Here we go. We're dropping bombs on a Wednesday. Hard body
karate. Wah!
Inside pitch, 3-2 count. Here's a shot to left field. Yeah, it's gone. Anyway, Yankees. Hey. Hey, right? After we got pissed off, after we were just hell-bent on their piss-poor performance against the Baltimore Orioles.
I wasn't hell-bent.
You said it happens.
It happens. You were very common. It's baseball. It's fucking, we're going to lose games here and there. The key is to win 7 out of 10 going forward. So the Yankees right now have won 6 out of 8.
Yeah.
So they split the next two, and I'm good.
That's what you want. 700 baseball. That'll probably get it done. And
but then they got to go 7-10.
I'm sure you'll hear it. You'll hear it in AJ's update. But Boston lost, Tampa lost. So now the Yankees find themselves 6 games back. A nice little jump for a day. It's not bad. But the real thing, the real story here is that we didn't have Gerrit Cole. That's how we kind of opened the show. That we didn't need him. Obviously they need him. But Heel is the.
We're not going to do that either, Dave.
You're calling him Gil?
It's Gil until further notice.
Right. Well, I'm looking at him as Heel. He pitches. He's the number 4 prospect in the Yankees little farm system there. 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. He had an absolute eyewear shutout that he pitched. And then, obviously, the bullpen gives up 1 run, whatever. But they've scored their most runs they have scored all year. Since, you know, when the last time they scored this many runs? Chop Sports was in the house for that one game against the Angels. Yeah. That's the last time they scored that many runs. Well, this is actually setting the new bar at 13 runs. So if you're in any 13-run pools, you hit yesterday with the New York Yankees. Speaking of hits, DJ LeMahieu, Rizzo, Judge, all 2 hits apiece. Judge goes Yardsky, a couple other guys. It's nice to see. Stanton goes yard, and it's funny. I was actually texting back and forth during the game with Janine because I texted her. I said, I feel like every time Stanton goes yard, it's in spite of her. Because there's nobody that's harder on Giancarlo Stanton than Janine.
Anybody on the Yankees. She gives a hard time, too.
Well, no. But she goes in.
I'm a Yankee now, so I suck.
Right.
That's basically what I get from Janine. As soon as you become a Yankee, as soon as you get called up, it's like, oh, I'm here, so now I suck.
Dude, I'm telling you, I told her this. I was like, you are my favorite person to talk, like, to even read about, like, your thoughts about the... She's authentic. She's real. I love it. She keeps it real.
I wonder if she booed A-Rod.
She had to have.
Had to have.
Like, 1,000%. We'll get a text later on saying, no, I would never boo A-Rod. But maybe... Had to have.
I had to hate A-Rod.
She probably hated Jeter at certain point. No, I'm kidding.
Crazy.
That is crazy talk. So, yeah, the Yankees and the rookie shine. The Yankees
won.
Yeah, that's a big
1-13.
What?
They won 1-13.
1-13! Oh, dude,
who do they verse tomorrow?
Versing. No, don't.
That's
check
not,
it.
The second one wasn't on you.
Yeah,
that's
no. Just, the score, we pounded it home, and that was Johnny.
I'm
said,
in a fantasy league where half the league says that. Like, I verse you this week? No.
Nope. I play you this week, you as a matter of fact.
Against me.
I am against you.
I am not versing anybody.
There's no such thing
Speaking
as the...
Speaking of versing...
Uh-oh.
The locks, baby.
Yo, Jada. Did you see that? Did you watch it? You're a rap guy,
meme,
right?
I saw the meme that Jada scored... It was a 62-15 at the Garden. That was his stat line. He just went off.
Is the locks the British one?
Oh. You better shut the fuck up right now. All right, AJ. Hit the mute button back.
All right.
The locks... Jadakiss, the locks, they went against Dipset in the versus battle. Do you know who Dipset is? Name a member of Dipset. Unmute yourself.
Dead air.
Killer.
Cameron? Yeah, look at me. I'm cultured.
Plies a member? No.
No, wait, what?
What'd he say?
No.
Did he say Paz?
I know who Plies is. Paz? Oh. No, he did not say Paz.
I was like, Paz is definitely not a member of the locks or Dipset.
Jim Jones, Joel Santana. That's Dipset.
No lie. Yeah, I hate that song. You know why I hate that song? That was the New York Giants theme song of their Super Bowl run in 2007. How do I know that? I interned there, so I heard it way too much. Anyway, so speaking of the Giants, it's funny you say that. they got a little bit of a tussle yesterday, huh? Joe Judge, that's not any fun. And apparently, according to all reporters, we are on site watching this shit develop. It was catastrophic. He, like, Joe Judge made him run laps like they're a freaking, you know, junior peewee team all of a sudden. Do your push-ups in your laps. Like, do you find, like, I know what you said yesterday when it broke. When, like, we heard about it. You said that's football. Like, that happens in every camp. But why report something like this where the coach's reaction, you know, like usually you would say, hey, the coach wasn't in favor of it or whatever. But the whole headline was that he went nuts.
The whole headline is that he went nuts because he probably went nuts. He's the type of coach that doesn't take that shit. So that's what it is. And the whole, on the heels of the whole Kelvin Benjamin comments, the media now is going to make a fucking mountain of a molehill as usual. He disciplined his players by making them run and do push-ups? Yeah, get the fuck over it. That's what football coaches do since the beginning of time. I used to have to run when the team fucked up. They would do a lap. It's that simple.
I have to do push-ups every time I drop a ball.
And now the players that don't want to have to run laps will then police the players that cause the team to run laps. It's a way of internalizing things. And the only reason it's not internal is because there's a fucking billion cameras there talking crazy shit. Let's let the season play out. The team played hard for Joe Judge last year. Benjamin was a fat slob. I don't mean to say the word fat. No, sorry.
I think you're okay.
But Benjamin's a pussy. Better guys? Benjamin's a pussy.
Now we're starting to clean things up.
And that's what you get out of a head coach that doesn't take shit.
I'm with
it. You didn't meet your end of the bargain. You got cut. You guys want to fight? Okay, now you're going to do push-ups. And what happens is now the leaders on the team that don't want to do push-ups and run laps will go up to the people causing them to do push-ups and run laps and say, get your shit together. And then week 8, how about this? Let me just stop all that. Do you remember Tom Coughlin?
Yes, of course.
They hated Tom Coughlin.
Well, because everybody had to set their watches back like an hour just to make sure you're on time.
They hated Tom Coughlin and the way he coached, and then they won with him. And then they didn't hate him anymore. It's simple as that.
All right. So you
think Michael Strahan wanted him out. Fucking Tiki Barber wanted him out.
Tiki Barber's a bitch made, bro. He's complained about everybody. And he had the fumbleitis until Tom Coughlin helped him.
Tiki Barber was a great fucking player.
Rondé Barber was better.
I don't care about who's better. Tiki Barber was really good. He played a long time in the league at running back. He weathered a lot of different situations. Tiki was a good player. I don't particularly like him, but Tiki was a good player. He did it all.
Debatable. So Joe Judge.
It's not debatable.
It is debatable, bro. Player. Some people could say he's not any good.
Why?
Because his longevity. That's why we're like giving him good. Check his stats, bro. Check his career numbers. I'm curious.
Check them.
No, I said I'm curious. They're good. Not calling you out like saying they're bad.
No, I know they're good.
Okay, but how many? I want to know years played, and I want to know total yards.
That's his first really good stat.
Understood. But if the yards are compiled over a 20-year stretch, then maybe he doesn't have the numbers.
Frank Gore not a good player?
Frank Gore's a goat, bro.
Okay.
Frank Gore's a goat, and he's still playing. Or he's trying to still play. Go ahead, AJ. What do we got? We got Tiki Barber numbers here.
Yeah, so I also found a picture of Kelvin Benjamin at camp. I want to show you guys afterwards. So Tiki Barber played from 1997 to 2006, and he had
9 years, which is the average life expectancy of a running back is probably like 4.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And that's a stretch. It's not 4.
Okay. Well, Zeke's on his fourth year. But
10,449 rushing yards, 55 touchdowns.
Cowboys.
5,183 receiving yards and 12 touchdowns.
So 15,000 all-purpose yards in 9 years.
Pretty good.
Not terrible. Maybe I just don't like him. All right. We'll just go with that.
He's a good player.
Calvin Benjamin at camp.
Well, does he look like a slob?
It's not actually Calvin Benjamin. It's
it's Garfield. I love Garfield. Garfield's a good guy. He's
Garfield
a big pasta guy. Staying in the NFL real quick, did you read or hear about Phillip Rivers saying he wants back in the NFL after being, quote, retired for, 3 months or whatever it's been?
I hear that you have something about Nick Foles becoming a Colt. Maybe Phillip Rivers comes back and joins the squad.
I think that's the Colts are in a situation now with the Carson Wentz thing. But by the way, solid 5 to 12 week prediction there. Anybody who said 5 to 12 weeks, that's either 1 month or 3 months. Like, that's a big deal.
They should just say 12 weeks.
They should just say indefinitely until he's back.
Here's what you say. 12 weeks, take all the questions off the table. If he comes back sooner, that's a bonus. But you just don't give the glimmer of hope for no reason, because now you're keeping the fan base on their heels.
So
they're on the edge of their seats. I shouldn't say they're on the edge of their seats to get when Wentz is going to get hurt again. Because well, as soon as well, he that comes means back, Wentz, he's going to get hurt again.
Well, what, that means if you're going on the longer side of things, he'll be there by like Halloween, bro. That's not, they need a quarterback now. They have to make a move. They can't go based off of what they got. We're going to cover the Colts next week, but, or even this week. I haven't decided yet. But like, dude, like, come on. Like, they got to make a move. Foles would be the guy. He worked with Reich. He won a Super Bowl with Reich. That's the guy. He's slinging the ball around with the third string team on the Chicago Bears. Third string. And that's what he said. And I respect Foles for that, actually. Foles actually, of all people, I hate it's Nick Foles. He gave Philadelphia that joy for that minute and a half. But Nick Foles, on his latest press conference, said, I haven't talked to anybody. Frank Reich hasn't reached out to me or anything like that. I'm a Bear. I'm a third stringer right now, and I'm going to continue to sling it with the third stringers and dice up the secondary. So he's a confident dude. I think the Colts need to make this move. I really do. I think that that move is
happening. If
he can't
beat out Andy Dalton, then I don't think he's the starting quarterback in the league, unless the Bears are just that inept when they think that Dalton is better than Nick Foles.
What do you think?
I think that they're both trash.
Who's the bigger piece of trash? No, you know, who's the lesser of the trash?
Dalton. No. Foles. He won a Super Bowl. Easy.
No, I'm not talking about stat. I'm not talking about stature.
Foles is better than Dalton.
I don't know. I watched Dalton swinging around last year.
You know what you could do? Do you have a quarter in your pocket?
No, I do not.
Flip a fucking coin because that's who's better.
Okay.
Whoever wins.
I'm with it.
They're both the same.
So, Rivers, though.
Better for the Colts? Foles, because he has history with the coach.
Truth. Yes, I agree. But with the Rivers thing, there's 32 teams in the NFL. Clearly, he wouldn't start for anybody right now. What's a good fit for him off the top of your head as far as a backup role to go in there and mentor a young guy? I have one in my head. Oh, you have the Colts.
Just because
he was just
quarterback
there.
Is out. He's been there. He has that's the best situation for him because he's going
to
start.
Okay. I have a team that we already talked about this week. He needs to back up Zach Wilson and play for the Jets. I think that would be a fantastic guy to learn under in practice. And we saw it. We went through the depth chart. The Jets have nobody behind Zach Wilson. So this is the guy.
Do you think that Phillip Rivers wants to come back and put in all this work to be a backup?
You think that it's about the work and wanting to play, or you think that he had a 15th child that needs money?
I think it's about – he definitely doesn't need money.
No? Okay.
It's not like he's divorced.
I didn't say – well, no, he's got 15 wives. He's a Mormon, isn't he?
No. He's got one. He's a Christian, Dave. He's got one wife. And he's got 38 kids.
He's
got a lot of fucking money because he played 20 years as an NFL quarterback. So he definitely is not broke, and he's not divorced.
And coaching high school football is just not fulfilling.
With
Phillip
Rivers, it's all about Sunday. He wants to play the games on Sunday. He's not going to go sign with a team that he doesn't have a chance to start.
I never even liked the way he released the damn ball.
Sometimes
I wonder, like, you see his kids?
Same.
His kids actually throw like that.
I've never liked the way he released the ball. I could say the same thing about Stafford, but Stafford's in line to do well.
Yes.
So it has nothing to do with it.
Maybe get back up Stafford.
No, he's going he's either going to go to the Colts or he's not going to go anywhere.
Or do you wait till training camp and preseason goes and somebody's going to drop?
That's what happens. These things happen. Rivers... An opportunity will arise if it's going to arise. If it doesn't, it's the Colts because it already did.
Very true. I like it. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about the Buffalo Bills 2021 season. I do want to touch on the NBA real quick because right before we started recording, the Knicks got better by adding Kemba Walker to their roster. Now, you talk about Kemba Walker, Derrick Rose, Julius Randle on the same team at the same time. Formidable little team there.
Say the names again.
Kemba Walker, Derrick Rose, and Julius Randle.
So they can't guard anybody on the perimeter.
Look, man, just score points.
Kemba Walker dribbles a lot.
I think is a great fit for him, and I think AJ brought it up to me in the pre-show saying that the cardiac Kemba or something?
I'm pretty sure his famous cardiac Kemba shot where he hit the game winner at as a UConn Husky, I'm pretty sure that was at the Garden.
Yeah, so there you go. He's a perfect fit for the Garden.
He's a New York guy. He's 31. So
yes,
that's
he's on the wrong side of 30. I get that part, but so is Derrick Rose. You know what I mean?
Well,
yes, they're an older team. They're not electric. They're not the Lakers right now. But even those guys, LeBron is the oldest player in the league.
I need to see the details of the contract.
Well, they have not been released yet because he just got bought out by Oklahoma City. So there's no release of the numbers. But as we described yesterday, the NBA numbers are completely different.
It's not bad.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know the terms in terms of length, but they say it's roughly $8 million in average annual value. So that's not bad.
So even if it's 3 years, it's $24 million. That's not, yeah, that's not a
that's
hit.
That's way less than I thought for somebody that's, he just got a buyout for all that other money. So maybe he's just accepting less to come home to New York, which is still crazy to me.
That's absurd. He's getting paid less than Reggie Bullock.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. All right. So Kemba Walker to the Knicks.
Well, he's getting paid by the Knicks less. But he's getting all the
He's getting money. Paid by Oklahoma City for life to get bought out, excuse me, bought out for that contract. So, all right, well, I'm excited about it. Any moves the Knicks made, I get excited about. I wonder how Jimmy Palumbo feels about this. He's probably saying, he stinks though. So it is what it is. But before we go to break, I do want to throw it over to our sports update because we want to catch you up on all things MLB. And that's AJ Bascone with the sports update. Hit it, bro.
All righty, guys. I'm here with the Curtis Ellis House's sports update. For all your realty needs, make sure to hit up Curtis Counts. We got a loaded slate today, but let's begin with the Yankees. They pounced on the Orioles and defeated them fairly easy, 13-1. The Marlins went against the Mets, and the Mets yet again disappoint. Taijuan Walker gets his sixth loss of the year, and he is slumping. Marlins win it 5-4. Phillies yet again get another 5-4 victory over the Nationals. Zach Wheeler gets the win in this start. The Cleveland Indians face the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays were able to bounce back with Zhen Ryu on the mound. They win that game 7-2. The Tigers upset the Red Sox in a huge game. Miguel Cabrera hit his 498th home run, so he is two away from the 500 club. Twins were able to beat the Reds in a tight one, 7-5. Mariners upset the Rays 4-2, and Kikuchi goes six effective innings, only giving up two runs. The Los Angeles Angels were able to bounce back and defeat the Texas Rangers 11-3. Suarez gets a win in that one. The White Sox get an important victory at home against the Royals. Daniel Cease looks dominating in that game, only giving up three hits. Pirates are able to upset the Brewers. D. Bednar gets the win in that game. Not sure what his first name is. The Braves are able to get an easy victory over the Cardinals, who look to basically not hit a baseball for anything, 6-1. The Rockies are able to defeat the depleted Cubs 13-6. Padres beat the Athletics to death 8-1.
What did for the love of God, who did the Padres beat?
I want to say it again. The A's.
It's every day now. It's all right. It's fine. You say whatever you want.
The Giants and the Diamondbacks went at it in a close one, and the Diamondbacks pulled off a surprising upset 3-1. And the Astros had a dominating performance last night over the Dodgers. Lance McCullers Jr. looked, whew, he looked good out there. That is all for your AJ Sports update.
It's so funny to watch and hear the Dodger crowd. Like, it was loud, bro. It was, I had a friend in attendance, my friend Kim. She was in attendance. She said it was absolutely nuts. There was little babies, like 2-year-old kids dressed up as trash cans yesterday. It was amazing, and I love it. I'm here for all of that beef against the Astros for as long as they're an MLB franchise. I'm all for that. So with that, let's take a little break. Let's towel off. Thank you, AJ, for that one. I said let's towel off. You know who says that? Michael K. So it's not intentional. I hear it all the time.
See ya.
Fuck
out of here, dude.
I will now be retiring from podcasting, one episode into my own podcast. But yeah, so anyways, let's pay the bills and we'll be right back. Warren Brumell of Keyport Law has been practicing for over 35 years and is here to help you in your bankruptcy matters. Bankruptcy is a specialized area of law that requires expertise and experience, and Warren brings both. Keyport Law has handled over 10,000 bankruptcy cases. They will make the process simple and provide easy, affordable payment plans. Warren will get creditors off your back, stop the annoying phone calls, and stop the creditors from contacting your neighbors and former employers. Listeners of Chop Sports will get the first interview free. Go to www.keyportlaw.com and fill out the new client intake form, and they will contact you directly. This firm is a debt relief agency helping people file for relief under the bankruptcy code. All right, welcome back to the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Wednesday. It is August the 4th, 2021. I would be remiss, and I don't want to totally discredit this at all because it's literally one of the worst days of my life, and it's not trying to get too deep or too personal, but on this day, 14 years ago, I lost my best friend, John, I grew up with the kid, wrestling, wrestling talk. He was a big 49er guy, And big 49er guy. He's definitely remembered on this day. He passed away 14 years ago, and it was so weird. The last text I got from John was when I told him I was leaving for training camp when I had to go to Albany, New York to go work for the Giants. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. You're going to make it. And that was the last I heard from him. So that was like, it's, again, don't want to get too deep. Don't want to get emotional or anything like that. But I do want to pay my respects to him. I promised his family that I would keep his name alive for as long as I possibly can. So, yeah, man. Hope he's rocking Madden up there. We played Madden. I swear to God, true story. We played Madden so long one night on his PS2. We thought that there was like heat coming off the system. So we're just like, oh, it's just a hot system. We get it. The game was over. We were done, and we hit eject, and the disc was melted. We actually melted the Madden game because of how fire our game was. But yeah, that's a true story. So yeah, man. So rest in peace, Johnny boy. I miss you. And yeah, so that's that. But so you good over there, Gooch?
I'm better.
I mean, wow, that
was fucking crazy.
The shit was falling apart. You know what? Thanks, John. He wanted me to give a solo.
Also,
what's up?
Do my sound again.
All right, can you hear him? Is he good? He's good. All right, perfect.
No humming.
Nothing.
How about now?
I think we're good. He's humming now. Anyway, so it is day 4 of our 32 teams and 32 days coverage of the NFL. We want to touch on the Buffalo Bills, who are the reigning, defending AFC East champions, one game away from the Super Bowl last year. It's Bills Mafia time, and I think when you look at this team up and down their depth chart and going into camp, I know Gucci had some kind of hesitations thinking that they were going to run this back. I personally don't have any hesitations whatsoever. I think the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, I think that whole team is ready to pounce again and be that team to possibly contend to get to the Super Bowl this year, as opposed to last year when they lost to Patty Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. So we start off with their quarterback. It's obviously Josh Allen. A familiar face is the backup. Mitch Trubisky is the backup to Josh Allen. God forbid something happens, they definitely won't get anything done with Mitch Trubisky. But I will give shout out and credit to Jake from State Farm, who is their third string quarterback. I actually watched that guy on, what was that show on Netflix with the kids where they follow the kids around? Not Last Chance U. It was something else. There was another show that he was on. Damn, they got Davis Webb too. So they're deep at quarterback, just in case. What?
Are they?
I mean, deep when I say, like, notable names.
Yeah, they're definitely not deep at quarterback. Trubisky sucks.
Trubisky is very bad. But Jake from State Farm, he's...
Trubisky's probably going to be a good backup because he could run a little bit.
That's probably it, yeah. Their running game, that's deep.
Can't throw a 10-yard out.
No, he cannot. That's deep, though. Devin Singletary, Zach Moss in his second year, and, of course, Matt Breida, former 49er. So that running back... three-headed monster, potentially, right? I mean,
all right.
I think the Matt Breida thing is new, if I'm not mistaken. That's definitely new. Zach Moss last year, he was frustrating to own in fantasy, by the way.
Zach Moss sucked last year.
Well, you must have owned him in fantasy, but yes. I was just going to say, anybody who owns him, I think my brother owned Zach Moss, too, for a little while. I tried to trade him. Nobody wanted him. He's like, who the fuck was this guy? Devin Singletary, though, if given the opportunity and in free space, he's one of the nastier running backs in the league, I think. And I think that if he could just catch a couple more balls out of the backfield, you know, he'll be more effective. His receiving core, Josh Allen, will be throwing to probably pound for pound top three wide receiver in the league, Stephon Diggs. No, you're shaking your head. What do you got? Who's better?
I don't put him in the top three.
Who's better? Just Devontae? Fine. That's my one. And Hopkins, too.
So why is Diggs top three? He had one really good year. He's had good seasons, but like, one top 3 year. Julio's better. AJ Brown, I'll take over him. There's a lot of guys that I would take over Diggs. And I'm not
fair.
Diggs, I watched him get shut down on Minnesota plenty by our guy. So
Jair. All right. So after Diggs is Emmanuel Sanders, and in the slot, Cole Beasley. Is Cole Beasley gonna be there? Who knows? I mean, he seems that he can't shut his mouth, but
what? I'm not trying to say that Diggs is not great. I'm just saying he's not top three. Oh, say top 3 is got to do it a little longer. I'd take Mike Evans over him in a heartbeat.
Right now?
Yes, right now.
Okay.
I don't know the ages, honestly. So
Mike Evans is definitely a lot older.
But Mike Evans is, look at his numbers.
No, I love Mike Evans. I'm a Mike Evans apologist. Every time everybody's like, will you stay healthy? Him and Keenan Allen. I'm like, these guys are still best in the world at what they do.
We have time to talk about the Bucs, and I don't want to give them any more fucking clout anyway. So we'll talk about the Bucs when it's time to talk about the Bucs. But
so Cole Beasley, again, I am officially blocked on Twitter by Cole Beasley. Did I ever tell you that story? I think, yeah, AJ, I told you that story. Okay, yeah, anyway, he was a little softy. Softy McSofterson, when he was with the Dallas Cowboys, he didn't want to hear my thoughts about him fumbling on the 3-yard line in a game of Madden football. So I just shot off. I said, Cole Beasley, this game gets more realistic every year. You know what I mean? So he was like, oh, yeah, here's a block button. So I'm just glad he saw it. Cole Beasley is in the news every other day because he just doesn't know how to shut his mouth. If you want to do your thing, do your thing. If you don't want to do the thing, don't do the thing. Just shut up about it. We don't need to hear about it anymore. It's annoying. Their tight end, Dawson Knox, came on last year a little bit. I think that he's a decent tight end. Their offense is going to be pretty high-powered, I think. I think that Josh Allen does not take any steps back. Josh Allen is a top. To me, he's probably in my list, he's probably 6. As far as top quarterbacks in the league right now, and probably within one more year, he's a top 5 quarterback. Whether he's over my boy Dak Prescott or not, that's just me being biased. That's just me being biased with Dak Prescott. But I think that Josh Allen is going to take that next step. Now, I will say one thing about their offensive line. Deion Dawkins, Rahway guy. He's from Rahway, New Jersey. I actually wrestled with his brother. His brother they called the Jaguar. Yeah, that was it. That was the wrestling name. He was just the Jaguar. And so I know Deion Dawkins, he got himself the bag the other last year, I believe he was paid. And he gave it right back to Rahway. So I saw a lot of stuff that he did for his community. So that's awesome. But their offensive line, nobody, in my mind, nobody like jumps off the board at me besides Deion Dawkins. So that could be some troubling things. I mean, I'm sure all those guys are great or at least serviceable for Josh Allen. And he's a mobile quarterback. He's a big dude, hard to bring down. So I'm not so much worried about him getting knocked around in the backfield. But when you take a look at this offense, do you see any big deficiencies, Gooch?
You say the running back's really deep. I think they're very, very average and deep. Like they're all average.
So they're strength in numbers, but that's really
there's nobody that's going to really scare you on as a defensive coordinator. I'm not looking at them and be like, wow, we really got to worry about Singletary and Moss or either one.
I just feel like they have a lot of changes of pace. Braid is one of the fastest guys in the league.
They're a good they're a good running team because Josh Allen's a good running quarterback. That's the only reason why. Otherwise, I don't see them as a threat out of the backfield. Emmanuel Sanders is probably an upgrade over Beasley if he could stay healthy, if Beasley comes back. I don't know. I see Diggs had a career year. Beasley had a career year. Josh Allen has had his best season. Let's see if they could repeat that. It's hard to repeat your career year when you haven't had that great of a season until your year 8. What year is Beasley in?
He's been around for a while.
He's been around for a while. So is Beasley really going to fucking do the same thing again? I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot of questions.
I think this actually helps Beasley by adding Emmanuel Sanders.
When I say they're going to regress, it's hard to say that they're not going to regress when they were 13-3 last year. I don't see them winning 13 games. I just don't.
Okay.
Will they be a playoff team? Absolutely. Josh Allen is legit. He is the real deal. I do have him as a top 5 quarterback right now already. Over.
Totally. Back, get it.
Which,
all right.
You know, he led his team to an AFC championship appearance, and they had a fucking really good run last year. And if I look at the parts around him, I don't see how they're as successful as they are without him. He's the whole thing behind that. And a great quarterback, which I do believe he's on the verge of being a great quarterback, is what gives you a chance to contend. So they will be there deep in the playoffs. I just do see a regression out of them because of the success that they had last year. I think they played a little above their heads last year.
Okay.
And this year, there's definite holes.
I think it helped that their division was kind of blah.
Yeah.
You know, that they beat up on their division opponents. The Patriots had a very bad year. The Jets, obviously, were the Jets. And the Dolphins, I don't remember exactly what they did with the Dolphins.
100% I agree with you on that. And I do think that their division, while I don't think Miami's going to be as good, I still think that they're going to be a tough game.
They always are.
I feel like Miami will be a tough game. The Jets are shit, but I do believe that the Patriots are going to be a lot better this year.
All right. Yeah, we said that yesterday. If you want to look back and tune into yesterday's episode when we talked about, no, actually 2 days ago, we talked about the New England Patriots 2021 season. Looking at that defense, though, that defensive front, boy, I tell you right now, that's got to be up there in tops in the league based off of their back, too. Like, obviously, Ed Oliver is great. I love Butler in the middle. I love Addison. The Greg Rizal is brand new rookie. You know what I mean? So they definitely added more edge rushers.
For a team that needed to get, I guess, they don't really have any glaring holes. They really don't. So I'll say that. They just aren't really specifically really strong in any facet besides Josh Allen, to me. They went out and improved their pass rush, and the first four picks is DN, offensive tackle. That's what you want to see a team that's on the verge do. Because now if anybody pans out of those guys, they're really deep at getting to the quarterback and protecting.
Yeah. Matt Milano, one of the good linebackers in the league, great tackler. Tremont Edmonds, again, another one. You can't deny that these guys have the strength and star power. Tre'Davious White, one of the better corners in football. So he's still a Bill. That's not going to change anytime soon. A.J. Klein is the other slot. He's the slot linebacker. I'm sorry, the other cornerback being Levi Wallace. He needs some work, but he's good. And I'm a massive, massive fan of Micah Hyde. I know you love Micah Hyde.
I do.
I love Micah Hyde. I think he's a baller. I think he's fantastic. So, again, like you said before, I don't see any glaring holes for this team. So when you look at the schedule, their preseason will start against Detroit, Chicago, and then they play the Green Bay Packers at the end of the preseason in that final game. But you look at that schedule, and they start their year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think they can get that done. But right away, you got a game against Miami in week two. And I won't go what we said before. We won't go like game by game because nobody's actually looking at the schedule. So sometimes it gets tripped up of what they're doing. But if you look at everything before their bye, right? Their bye comes in week seven. So the first six games, Pittsburgh, Miami, Washington, Houston, Kansas City, Tennessee. I could see a win coming against Pittsburgh, Miami, Washington, Houston, and maybe Tennessee. So in the first six games, I got the Bills 5-1. You know what I mean? If at worst, 4-2, and that's not a bad start before the bye. So then they go into their bye week, then they come back after a bye home against Miami. To me, that's a win. You know what I mean? A lot of these good teams, if you're a good team, you come off that bye. Like Andy Reid, I think, is like 120-0 or something after a bye. You know, good teams find ways to win games when they're coming off a bye and they had that extra week to prepare. So I got them at like 4-2 going into their bye week at the worst, And then they come back. They play a cupcake schedule in the next 4 weeks
What? You got them at 4-2, 5-1. There's only one, I think, guaranteed win in their first six.
What?
Am I looking at the wrong year?
No, bro. They start with Pittsburgh. You got that?
Yeah. Is that a guaranteed win for Buffalo?
No, but it's a win for Buffalo, I think. It's a home game against
Buffalo. But you're saying 4-2 at worst. I'm saying it could go very, very different.
But who are they losing early to?
They can lose to Miami. They can lose to Miami. Are they going to? We'll see. I have no idea. But
Washington, Houston?
Washington's fucking going to be really good. That defense is going to be really good. I'm high on Washington this year. The Texans are the only guaranteed win. Guaranteed win. The other two teams, they're playoff teams. They're fucking loaded, both of them on offense. Kansas City and Tennessee, that's could be easily looked at as two guaranteed losses.
I see
losses.
That split. I see them beating Tennessee. All right,
so you see that as a split, and you say it's guaranteed.
I see 4-2 at the worst, I said. That's all. I give them the losses at Tennessee. I mean, at Kansas City and potentially at Miami. I gave them the Miami
loss.
I'm
saying at worst, it could be 2-4.
So that's tough sledding.
At best, it's 5-1.
But I think
they can win all those games, but there's going to be some good football games in that.
Yeah, no, listen, I don't think they're
going to
pull the doors off anybody. I just think that they have a chance to do good. And after their bye, they got home. Now, again, I just said it before. Coming off a bye, I feel like they're going to be at their strongest. They win that game against Miami. So even if they split the series, they get the home win, right? And they have a chance to rattle off three in a row when they have Miami, Jacksonville, New York.
Yeah.
Right? So even if I had them at four wins and you want to say even worse, three wins, then they're at six wins by week 11.
I'm saying at worst, they could have one win.
Oh, boy. You're a hard bargain.
I'm saying I would say, honestly, 3-3 going into their bye. At worst, we'll give you that. All
right. Okay, so then they win the next three, though.
I can't just assume they're going to lose every close game.
Fine. Yeah. So you give them 3-3, but then they win their next three? You would agree? Miami off the bye at home.
I'm not giving them 3-3. I'm just saying, like,
hypotheticals. Let's just say. Right. So then all of a sudden you're 6-3 and you're cruising again. You know what I mean? And then after that, Indy, you don't even know who's going to be the quarterback yet.
Carson Wentz comes back that week. It's week 11.
It's Thanksgiving almost. And then they got New Orleans, New England. They do play Tampa Bay and Carolina back-to-back weeks. I think that's going to be tough. Even if they split with New England, look, they're going to find a win against Atlanta, probably sweep the Jets. So, like, I do have them in the upper echelon. Can you look up the over-under on the win total there,
it's gonna
AJ?
It's going to be like 11.
Nah, you think it's going to be that high?
It has to be.
I think it's going to be 10. But we'll see. What do you got?
10.5
Yeah, 10.5 So finally you get your half.
Finally get my half of fucking win.
So you got your 10.5 wins. I'm going to put them over. I'm going to put the Buffalo Bills over. I'm going to give them 11 wins and 6 losses now that there's a 17th game. So 6 losses on this schedule. 11-6 And based off of what I gave the Patriots, I mean, I'm sorry, the Dolphins yesterday and the Patriots the day before, I officially have the Buffalo Bills running it back in the AFC East. Do you agree? Or do you think if you take the under, that means they're going to win 10 games or less?
The reason why I'm not going to pick against Buffalo is because it would just be me being devil's advocate at this point. Like, I think everything has to go right for the Patriots to win 10 games, and that's their max. Everything has to go wrong for the Bills to lose 10 games.
Seven games.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I don't mean everything, but a lot has to go wrong. So I can't bank on that as being like where I'm going to put all my fucking eggs.
Yeah. In one
That's
basket.
Not going to be the basket I put my fucking eggs in.
There you go. Right?
Fix that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not going to say that New England.
All right. So you think they run it back?
It's going to be Buffalo wins.
AJ, Mr. AFC East.
It's going to be a closer race than people think, though.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a 3-team race. I think it is until the end.
I think everybody assumes that every team that had a decent run and is like, oh, they're on the come up, that they're going to continue that success.
That's not necessarily true.
With the Dolphins, I think specifically it's not going to be true.
Okay.
I think the Dolphins probably regress.
Yeah, you have the Patriots finishing above the Dolphins and the Jets. So, yes. So you think it's a 2-team race, Patriots, Bills, probably comes down to the last couple weeks.
It might be a 3-team race down, you know, week 14. The Dolphins might still be alive. I just think at that point, they'll probably play one of these teams and catch an L and then.
Got you. Gotcha.
I want to see more out of the Dolphins.
Okay. And AFC is kind of Sheeler, whatever you want to call yourself. So you got the over-under on the Buffalo Bills win total of 10.5.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say over. I'm thinking either 11 or 12, but I know Vegas is mighty deadly with being accurate on some of these totals, so I'm going to say 11.
Okay, 11 wins. So you have them winning the AFC East, running it back?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, cool. That is the Buffalo Bills. Now, also, if you want to check out another man's opinion, you can check out our blog in just a little bit. We'll have AJ get on that and edit it and post it and all that good stuff. But Scoop Espo decided to write about all of the divisions. He's going to drop his AFC East blog today. So be sure to check that out at chopsportsmedia.com on the website. So, look, we all have it. The Buffalo Bills running it back. I think they have the talent and the depth to go as far as they went last year, and it's all about getting past almighty Mahomes, because in the AFC, we're going to preview the rest of the AFC as we go, but there are a couple teams that I think may take a bigger step, like your Chargers or like, you know, those teams. We'll talk about that as they come. So, I don't know, Gooch, I'll leave this up to you. Which division do you want to start with tomorrow? Since we are wrapping up the AFC East, do you want to go to the North, the South, the West? Where do you want to go?
I would say probably the South.
All right, let's do it. AFC South starts tomorrow with the Chop Sports Podcast. So we'll start from the bottom up, which in my, if my memory serves me correct, the AFC South's worst team was
the Texans.
The Texans.
And so, I think that we already kind of said that we were doing the South.
I think I did. Yeah. Okay, my fault. All right, my fault. Anyway, but that is your Buffalo Bills preview for the 2021 season. So for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ behind the glass, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow on a Thursday.
I could finally have that fucking coffee. We'll be right back.